Edius, Perk Base, Mishnah Dalet, 2-4, and here we have Shlosha Devarim, three things, Amar Rebbe Yishmael, Lifnei Chacham, Bekerem B'Yavna. Rebbe Yishmael, this is Rebbe Yishmael ben Elisha, who was a contemporary of Rebbe Akiva. He lived in the generation after the Chorban. He is one of the Asarit Chorigam Malchus, I believe. So he gave three items of testimony in the Kerem B'Yavna. So the Kerem B'Yavna, that's the vineyard in Yavna. That, according to one pshat, I think the most common pshat, is a reference to the fact that the Talmidei Chacham, the Gedolei Olam, who were operating out of this new relocated Sanhedrin in the town of Yavna, sat in like very organized rows. So they look like a kerem, like a vineyard. The same way if you go to a vineyard, you see that the rows of the vines are very orderly. They sound like very organized, like rows and columns. So it looked as if it were like a vineyard, so to speak, of this chachamim. In any case, this Rebbe Yishmael, he testified regarding three matters. Again, they're like three unrelated matters running us around Shas. The first thing he said is, Al beitza trufa shehi nesuna al gabe yarek shel truma. If you have a scrambled egg that you put on it's cooking on a top of vegetables that are truma vegetables, shehi chibur, that it has a lachik status of a chibur. So what's going on over here is that we said that when tuma transfers, it kind of each step of the transition, each transfer, it goes down a step, right? So if I have like a big pile of grapes and I'm an avatum and I touch the top grape, so then the grape that I touch becomes a rishon, and the grapes touching it become a shein, and the grapes touching those become, if they're truma, shlishi. And if they're not truma, they don't become tummy at all. And after that, there's no more spread of tuma. It's like each grape is like a separate station and it goes down. There is, however, such a thing called a chibur, a halachic concept of attachment, which is that the whole thing becomes a united entity, such that if you touch the thing that's mechubar, all the things that are attached to it become tummy equally. So the question is, essentially, Mishmot's answer is, what happens if you're essentially making a vegetable omelet? The vegetables are truma vegetables, they can become a shlish l'tuma. The egg is just regular ochlin, and it can only become a sheni l'tuma. And let's say, for example, you have a tvul yom, who has the status of being a sheni, and he touches the omelet, and he touches just the egg part, but within the egg is intermingled and like attached to these vegetables. Do the vegetables become tame, the truma vegetables become a shlishi, or not? Because he didn't touch the vegetables, he just touched the egg. If it's a halachic chibur, the eggs and vegetables are connected, it's like one entity, so touching the eggs is like touching the vegetables. And if it's not considered a chibur, then they're not considered connected, and therefore the vegetables would be tahor. Okay? And the Mishnah here is saying it is a chibur. And the basic idea is that since the egg is coming to sort of like serve or service or be part of the vegetables, right? You're having them together. And it does actually, in fact, like sort of attach them for real, right? If you pull the omelet, the egg will be pulled and the vegetables come with it. It's like intertwined. So it's considered a chibur, and therefore, says the Mishnah, if the tvul yom touches the egg, so then the vegetables that are embedded in it will become tame as well. That's the first part of the chiddush here. And he says further, vim haisa kamin kova. If kind of like a bubble comes up on the egg that you're scrambling, and there's sort of like it's above the vegetable, such that like beneath the bubble, if you will, there's like airspace where the vegetable is. So it doesn't mean there's no contact whatsoever between the vegetable and the egg, but that there's a lot of air between the two. Kind of like a hard hat you have today. If you ever put on a hard hat without using like the fastening, adjustments, kind of like rolls around in your head. So it's on your head, but it's not really attached to your head, if you know what I mean. Kind of like that. That you have, if the egg's on top of the vegetable and it's like, yeah, it is touching, but it's not really like embedded with it. So I guess if you peel the egg away, probably the vegetable would stay behind. So the point is, even though they're touching, but it's not really that much attached, so then they're not considered to be mechubar, the egg is not considered to be a chibur to the vegetable, and therefore the vegetables under the bubble, like a hat, like bubble, if you will, of the egg, will not become tame, even if a tvul yom touches the egg, and beneath that helmet-like bubble is a vegetable that's a vegetable of truma. That's his first point. Now, his second point is, va'al shibola shebekatsir, Varosha magas lekama. If you're talking about a stalk of grain that's being harvested, and the tip, I'm just translating literally here, the tip of the stalk that was left, magas lekama, can reach over to the standing grain. So then, imniktzera imakama, if it can be harvested with the standing grain, harehi shel bal habayis, the owner can keep it. That's the literal words. Vimlav, harehi shel aniyim, and if not, it belongs to the poor people. Okay, what's the backstory here? This is a topic that we explored back in Maseches Peah. It has to do with the mitzvah of Shichcha, which actually is the mitzvahs Aseh and Los Aseh, you're supposed to leave the forgotten portions of your harvest and not go back for them. So Shichcha comes in two basic varieties. There's the bundles that you are sort of like the sheaves that you're gathering that will be brought to the threshing floor. If when you're collecting them, you forget a bundle or two behind, you can't go back and get them. The mitzvahs Aseh to leave it and allows Aseh to go back for them. And similarly, if you're harvesting, you like you sort of miss a patch or skip a spot, so then if it's too forgotten, so that you have to like halachically kind of go back for the stuff you missed and forgot, then it's considered to be also a shichcha. You shouldn't do it. You should leave it for the poor people. So the question is, like, at what, how far removed can like a bit of grain that you missed be, and to be considered to be stuff still fair game for you to take home, and how far must it be that it's like now you can't go back and get it, and you must leave it for the poor people. So it's a Mishnah. It's known that it has to be that if you tip over the like forgotten stalk, that stand the kama, the standing grain, you tip it over, it can reach the rest of the grain you haven't harvested yet, like the section that you haven't yet harvested. But there's a chiddush here coming from Rabbi Yishmael, who's saying even if the tip of the standing grain that you missed or skipped or overlooked or something can reach the rest of the standing grain, that's not enough. It has to be that you can also harvest them together, like in this kind of the same handful, whatever it is, as you're collecting all the grains, this one can come too. Is the fact that like it can just the tip of its top can reach the bottom of the you know the first grain, but there's no way to sort of harvest them together. So then you still can't collect. You have to leave it for the poor people. That's his point. Let me show you the words inside here. Again, says the Mishnah, "Va'al shibola shebekatzir," and on a stalk that you've part of your harvesting, "Varosha magas lakama." I'll translate it now as even if the tip of the stalk that you overlooked can be bent over and touch the stand grain you haven't yet gotten to. Still, im nitzra im hakama, provided you can also harvest them together, like in one kind of the same handful or something like that, so then harehi shel bal habayis, then you, the field owner, the farmer, can keep it. Vim lav, but if you can't do it in one altogether, so then even though the tip of the stalk can reach, that's not close enough, harehi shel anim, you have to leave it for the poor people. Okay? And the last topic of the three here that this Rabbi Yishmael testified about. Again, I'll translate the words just literally, then I'll go back and explain. Valgina ktana, if you have a small garden, shehi mukafas aris, that's surrounded by trellised grapevines on all sides, im yesh ba kmlo botzer v'salo, if there's enough space that you could put in a grape harvester and his basket, mikan, on the one side, umalo botzer v'salo mikan, and also another grape harvester in his basket on the other side. I'll explain in a minute. Then tizra, then you may plant. Vimla, but if there isn't that much space, lo tizra, then you may not plant. Okay, let me unpack that. What's going on over here? So, this is all Maseches Kilayim. In Maseches Kilayim, we learned about one of the five mitzvahs that pertain to Kilayim, the prohibitions against mixed species, which is what's called Kilay HaKerem, the prohibition of planting grains, tevua, or greens, yurakos, in a vineyard, a kerem. Okay, so you have to distance your grains and greens from your grapevines. How far is the distance you need to leave between the grains or greens and the vines? That depends. There's two answers. If they're individual vines, then the answer is six tfachim, meaning one amma. If, however, the grapevines constitute a kerem, a vineyard. Just coincidental, the word kerem just appeared in our mission earlier on, but this is a real kerem of real grapevines. So then you have to leave a distance of four amos, not just one amos, but four amos, perimeter around the entire vineyard. What defines a vineyard? So in short, it has to be that there are like four vines, essentially in a square, like that each two are parallel to the two, and a fifth vine that essentially is in direct in line with one of the four sides of the square. Okay, so that's it's a five minimum in that formation. That constitutes a kerem, a vineyard, and if you have that, you can't plant any grains or greens within four amos of any of those vines. If you don't have something which constitutes a vineyard, it's not the right shape, even if there are still five or something, so then you can plant within one amma of the grains and the greens. That's the general rule. Now, later on in the Masechta, we have the funny middle case, if you will, of what's called an aris, aris with an ayin. Ayin, resh, yud, samach, we have in our mission here. An aris essentially is like a trellised vine. The idea here is, basically, think of the simplest cases, you have, let's say, five vines in a line. So you have the five vines, but they're in a line. They're not in like the square shape that makes it a kerem. But you drape them over a wall, or over a gazebo or something. So now there's like a kind of like, I'll call it psychologically, it sort of feels like you have something that's sort of not just a straight line. It feels like it's two-dimensional, right? It's got the width of five vines and the length of much more because you've got like, you know, you've extended the vines out over that fence. So the rule is that if you have an aris, like trellis vine, so you have the basic rule of the, it's not a kerem, but you can't plant basically beneath the aris, within the aris, because it kind of feels like you're planting within a overhead vineyard or something like that. Okay, so it's a kind of a middle case. Now, our Mishnah wants to ask the following question. Usually a trellis vine basically says you can't plant in the space between the trunks, the roots, if you will, of the vines and the wall, because there's an overhang over there. You can't plant beneath the gazebo, beneath the trellis vines. The question is, what happens if you have, let's say, a walled garden? So it has a garden on four sides, and it's small, and you have vines, let's say you have five vines, let's say one on each side of the garden, and two on one of the sides, for a total of five, and those vines are draped over the walls, kind of going outwards, not inwards, but outwards. So if you're standing in the walled garden, and you look up, you'll see just blue sky. You won't see vines overhead, but you'll see the vines going over the walls around you. So the question is, that kind of feels psychologically like you're inside a bunch of vines. How big does the garden have to be so that it doesn't have the status of being like an aris and like you're planting not under the aris and not in a vineyard, and therefore it's okay? That's the question. So while maybe based on the rules I told you up to now, you might think, listen, you haven't got five in the formation of a square and a fifth one in a line, so it's not a kerem, it's an aris. It's just individual vines, and you haven't got an aris here because there's not five in any one direction or whatever, and therefore you can just distance six amos from the root, the base of each of the vines. Six tefachim, one amma from the base of each of the vines. You might have thought that, but here Rabbi Shmuel is telling you, no, if the vineyard's very small, it's like too crowded, it feels like too much, and therefore you can't plant it all in the vineyard. You can't follow the usual rule of just distancing six tefachim, one amma. How big does the garden have to be? So the answer is, it has to be 4x4 amos. If it's 4x4 amos, then you can distance yourself from all the vines on either side and plant in the middle. So if the vines are against the wall, actually, you would, let's say that, and they're on parallel one another on the east and west wall, you would basically retreat one amma in from the west, one amma in from the east, and that's two amas total retreating, and then you have two more amas in the middle, let's say, where you could plant in the middle, like the middle square, if you will, of the walls of the walled garden. That's his basic point. Now, the way he describes that, instead of saying in terms of amos, he talks about the person who's doing the harvesting, called the botzer. The Hebrew word for harvesting grapes is betzira. So the botzer is the harvester of grapes. And salo, his basket, is where he puts the grapes inside. That idiom is used elsewhere in the context of grape harvesting and key lime. But the point is, we assume that the grape harvester takes up one amma, his basket takes up one amma, and therefore the botzer v'salo together is two amos. So if you have two amos on the left side and two amos on the right side, that is up to four amos in total. So therefore, in a sort of a slightly poetic way, but it's got through the fact of the harvesting itself, Rabbi Yishmael is telling you, as long as you have four amos east-west and four amos north-south, then you can plant within that walled garden, even though there are grapevines over the walls, and it feels like a trellis garden, you have enough distance, just make sure that you're six tefachim, one amma away from all the vines on the ground, and you can plant in the middle grains of greens as you want. That's his point. Let me show you in the words again. It says as follows. Valgina ktana, he testified regarding a small garden, this is the walled garden, shimukafas aris, that is surrounded by trellis vines on all four sides, for a total of five vines. Im yesh ba kamlo botzer v'salo, if you have enough space within the garden to allow for a grape harvester and his basket, i.e. two amos, mekan, on the one side, umulo botzer v'salo mekan, and on the other side also a grape harvester and his basket, meaning two more amos, 2 plus 2 makes 4 amos, so meaning if you have 4 amos from side to side, and north, south, and east, west, then tizra, then you're allowed to plant in the middle, as long as you're, again, not within 6 tefachim, 1 amma of the base of any of the vines. Vim lav, if you don't have the 4x4 space in the middle, 4x4 space in the middle of the walled garden, lo cizareya, then you may not plant at all any grains or greens within that walled garden, because it's surrounded by vines, and it's very tzafuf, it's very tightly packed in there, and therefore his tradition is, it's even though you're technically six tefachim from the base of all the vines, it's too bad, it's like an aris, you can't plant it all within it.